Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
The VC Show, let's go.
Welcome to the VC Show presented by Caesars Sportsbook on Omaha Audio. I'm Vince Carter alongside, you know who it is, Roz Godon Woodé. Hey, Roz, we got a good one. Like, we got a good one for everybody today. Not only can he hoop, he's a basketball savant. He's a guy that is loved by many. Jamal Crawford is on the way. Jamal Crawford is on the way. What you think?
I'm so excited. I'm happy enough to be here every week and do this show with you. Now we got Mall coming on.
Man, it doesn't get any better than this. It's a great day.
Joining the VC show is a true legend of the game, a three-time Sixth Man of the Year, the only player to drop 50 points on four different franchises, four different squads. He's your favorite Hooper's favorite Hooper. Actually, he's a basketball savant. He's a basketball savant, VC, and he's Emmy nominated for his journalism work. I mean, basically, I've been at this 10 years, and he already got an Emmy nomination. He is a great friend to the show, a wonderful person beyond the game. Jamal Crawford is here. Thank you so much for joining us, Jamal. I know you're with your son right now.
Thank you.
Roz, that was a heck of an introduction. I don't even know where we go from here, but that was a heck of an introduction. So thank you so much. I'm honored to be on the VC show. And real quick, when I saw that Vince Carter actually hit me to be on the show, I ain't gonna lie, I told my friend, like, Vince Carter texted me, dog. Like, this is crazy. Like, I'm always a fan. And when Stop Vince, this, I swear man. To God, I was at the Mariners game throwing out the first pitch, and Vince Carter hit me to be on the show, I was honored.
Yo, that's what everybody says. That's what when he hit me like, yo, do you want a co-host? I'm like, what?
I was like, Vince.
But Vince, why'd you want Jamal on the show then?
I mean, it's a no-brainer for me. I've known Jamal for a long time, even if our battles when I was with the Nets and he was with the Knicks and all of these times. But just over years, man, this, like you said, he's a savant. He's a great person. You know, we've been on different platforms just talking basketball. And I was like, all right. First guest, there's a couple of people I had in mind, but I'm like, man, I know what you bring to the table obviously on the court, and I think it's a treat for people who have not heard you really give your side or talk about the game like you do. So I really thank you for being available. I know what you're doing, you're coaching, but thank you for being on the show, blessing us as our first guest.
Man, so much respect, VC. And the crazy part about you is everybody is always the first part they think of the dunks, right? And then they're like, man. But then the threes. But now that you're in this space and I'm watching you on ESPN, I'm watching you do all these wonderful things, I'm watching you now on your own show, you're giving people a window into your world of why you were so good for so long. It wasn't just athleticism, your brain, your basketball brain, the way you play, the way you see the game. And it's an honor, man. It's an honor. I can't wait to jump in.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm. Let's do it.
You know what? I heard the buzzer in the back. Jamal, fill us in where you are. You're coaching right now. What's going on?
I'm in the middle of Washington, Centralia, Washington. It's probably like an hour and a half drive from Seattle. In the middle of nowhere coaching. It's my passion. I didn't know that I would be a coach. I've gotten offers to be in NBA coaching or college coaching or NBA front offices. But I was like, nah, I love talking the game, obviously. But I never knew I had the passion to actually coach the game, especially kids. And I was the parent that I was good just keeping the scoreboard. I'm like, I'm cool over here. I can keep score. I can pay attention. I'm straight. But the fact I got bit by the bug, and now we have practice plans, we have film sessions, we have so many different things for these guys that I know they'll remember and appreciate, especially along their journey later on in life.
Real quick, I want to add to that because Jamal's basketball mind, you know, should be on the NBA level. So the treat is for these kids to get coaching, prep work, film work as we did in the NBA.
Right.
And that's just our approach, and that's what's in us. And now these kids get that. So as they move on in high school, in college, and of course get to the pros, it becomes second nature for them. And that's a huge advantage to some of the kids who don't have that. Now, not saying other coaches aren't great, but they don't have that. And that's important, understanding how to watch film to get better by watching film, because it's easy to have our boys tell us how good we did and how good we looked.
Absolutely right.
We all know, all of us have played the game. We know the film don't lie.
Ever. That eye in the sky don't lie, VC. And I always tell parents, like every time we go on a trip, I always make sure we do something. So we rent out the suite to go to the Portland Trailblazers game. For some of them, it was their first NBA game in person because we don't have the Sonics here. So when we're in LA, we rent out Dave and Buster's. And those things are really, really cool. But I said the coolest thing about being on this team is the knowledge you get. It's myself. I have two guys who actually play D1 basketball. So where these kids want to go and along their basketball journey, we're trying to plant a solid foundation. Right. And that's what we're doing for them. And I said, the knowledge you get is the coolest thing about being on this team. Yeah, you're going to get attention, but that's short term. If you want to do this for real, this long term information you'll get will carry you the rest of your basketball journey.
And I'm loving this just listening to y'all because I see two fathers, you know, I see two black fathers, you know, putting in the time. And Vince on another podcast had told me about going to volleyball games and cheering on his kid.
Yeah.
And you're here.
Hey, I'm a baseball coach now. Like, I'm all in.
And Jamal coaching his son's team. I'm just curious, like, what that's like for y'all to have been the most elite of athletes. And then here you guys are as fathers, you know, trying to bring up kids. And maybe they are as talented as you, or maybe they're not, you know, just bringing them along their personal journey.
And VC would be the first to tell you, like, their schedules are our schedules, man. Everything's based around them. You may be an Uber driver, it may be your day to bring snacks after soccer. So their schedule is our schedule. And to go back to Vince, it's amazing he played as long as he did, but you can't play that long without being a good person as well. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, because you meet so many different people, and it's a small league. Oh, what's this guy like in the locker room? What's this guy like? Is he about his team? So you can't play that long as well if you burn bridges. And he always did things the right way. So seeing him as a father and his family and everything, it's no mistake or surprise he's as successful as he is doing other things away from the game. And I try to take a page out that book as well.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
This might be too personal, but I'm going to go there.
No, never.
I'm going to go
there. This is family.
Yeah.
We're family here.
It really feels that way. I love both of y'all so much. You know how as players, every year you added to your game or worked on something or got
right.
better? Where are y'all in your father game right now? And what are the things that, you know, you feel like, okay, this is my strength as a dad. And maybe also I'm working on some things, you know, in this role, especially now that you have more time.
I'll go first. Because I know I'm constantly learning and working. It's approach. I mean, because it's how you deliver information, because, you know, it's a different way to deliver as you get older in different stages. And sometimes it's like, come on, man. I was like, oh yeah, they young,
right. A lot of patience.
And it takes a lot of patience. But at the same time, like I've just learned to embrace the moment, be in the moment. Like I'm a baseball coach. I played for a little bit. But I was there, like you said, Mark, I was there as a dad.
Right.
And I was there at practices helping out. Next thing you know, hey, you know, you can help field.
Yep.
Hey, you can help this. And next thing you know, I'm in the dugout.
That's how I
I'm in charge of the lineup, making sure kids get the gear on. I'm like, what has happened here? And it's just a great thing. And the same thing, you know, with volleyball, my daughter, Otis, you know, it's crazy seeing her being recruited. So I'm going through that process as a dad now, and got the opportunity to go on an unofficial visit to Chapel Hill, which blew my mind, because the last time I was there, it was me being recruited by the great Dean Smith.
Right.
So I walk in there, and it gives me chills right now, because
full
it's like,
circle.
She's sitting there, and he's not talking to me. He's talking to her about, you know, potentially coming in to play volleyball, and just sitting there. And that volleyball coach was actually there when I was a student athlete.
Wow.
So it was just crazy to see her sit there. And I was sitting back watching her, like, you know, not trying not to tear up, but just watching, like, bro.
Wow.
Now it's like full circle. Now somebody else is being recruited like this in family. Whether she goes there or not, it was an unbelievable moment.
Yeah, and for me, to add on to what Vince said, obviously patience, but for me, it's time. T-I-M-E. I think they know when you're present. You know, so even when I'm there, I'm not picking up my phone often. I'm not doing, like, they want to know that we're locked in. They'll do something and look to see if I was watching, you know, just to see if those eyes are upon them. So it's time. It's time. Yes. It really is. And I'm fully invested in this. Nothing comes before that. And I'm just proud of our relationship and how it's grown. You know what I mean? And in every sense of the word, because like you said, now that I'm retired, I'm here even more. So I'm picking up, I'm dropping off, I'm doing everything that you would do if I wasn't gone all those times. So it's making up time, and it's amazing, because now you look back like, man, I would never want to be without this time again. I'm glad I retired when I did. I'm glad it went like it went, because I've missed a lot of time already. I don't want to miss any more time.
But you deserve to be on that court, though. I'm just saying.
Hey, I still got games. Okay. V, I promise.
I know that.
I still can go.
I know that.
Just like you,
I can
still do it, for sure.
I know this. And I need that. And I'm glad it's out there.
So I'm going to throw this one at y'all. And I'm going to start with you, Jamal. Do you have closure around your career?
I do now, but it took a while to get there. What the kids don't know is I may have needed them as more as they needed me. Because I was so hell-bent on working out every single day, and the call didn't come. Why didn't it come? What did I do? I just won Team of the Year 2 years ago. I just averaged 31 for a month. I just had 50 off the bench. Like, what did I do? So I spent a year and a half, you know, and I'm going to be honest. Some days you're depressed. Some days you're happy because you think it's going to come. You try to stay positive. And then some days you just don't get it. It was hard for me to watch basketball for a while. But when I threw myself fully into the team and the kids, it helped give me closure. I was like, I don't want to miss any of these things. Like, this is the best thing in the world. And that's where the closure came from with these kids. So I'm very, very thankful. I turned down NBA front office jobs. I turned down NBA coaching. I turned down even doing TV work where I had to move, especially this first year, just for the kids. Absolutely.
Wow, that's great. For me, I think, yes, I do have closure. It was actually easy, Roz and Maul, because the pandemic was great timing for me.
Oh,
it was an unfortunate situation how it happened. But it was great timing, because when I'm thankful to this day that I actually allowed myself to go back in the game, because originally I said no, I didn't want to go back in the game. I was like, oh, you know, 2 weeks, you know, like they said, somebody it gets it, 2 weeks for sure. And then I was like, oh, we'll go back. And then about a minute and a half left, I was like, Dwayne Dedman said, hey, OG, this might be your last game. And that's when it hit me, like, you know what? All right. Let's go back in. And coach looked at me. He's like, go in. So it was like, all right, Cole. All right, now Trey was like, yo, we going to get you. First, he was like, yo, we going to set it up for a dunk. I was like,
no.
No. You know how long I've been sitting over here? No, sir. But he said, all right, we going to set up a play for you and shoot it. So it was just cool for me. I was like, all right, man, take it and make it. Shoot it like you know, like you do. And I was thankful not only to see the shot going that I was able to get back in the game and take my last shot and make it. And I think that gave me closure, even though it was unsure, because the pandemic, once everything happened, we're away, we're figuring out the bubble, how many teams are going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, originally they said, oh, all 30 teams are going. I was like, all right, cool, surprise. And then they backed off and said just 22, and obviously the Hawks did not make it. So at that time, I was golfing. You know, I'm a golfer.
Yes, you are.
And that took my mind away from from basketball just because I'm like, all right, it's over. We're not going. And then I started working on TV. Mm. So before I actually signed, I started going back. I did some work with Turner. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing some work with ESPN. So I'm already in a different mind frame, a different mode, and basketball was put aside. Now, once I started sitting courtside calling games, that's when the test hit me. Like, how I'm going to feel about this right, now? How right. I'm going to feel? And it was nothing. I think I got it out of me, and I made the right decision.
Ross, can I add on to that?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I knew Vince was going to make that last shot. And the reason I knew he was, the circumstances weren't in his favor. He had been sitting. He was cold.
Facts. This is a fact.
But he's been so good to the game. Guy was going to smile on him. He was like Magic in the All-Star game. He was going to make his last shot.
Right.
I knew he was going to make his last shot. And it was not easy. Like, I'm telling you, 20,000 people, the pressure of making that shot. Vince was going to make that shot. God already wrote it out. It was going to make it. But it was just amazing to watch in real time. Like, wow, everything he's given to the game, the people he's inspired around the world, not just in the country, around the world. Yeah. Like, it was like, here, this is it. This is the perfect way to go out.
Well, me and you are similar like that because I definitely think like the energy begets itself.
No, I'm very in tune.
Basketball,
there's no doubt.
They bring
there's
it back
no doubt.
To you if you're putting it out there the right way on the court. And if you play in the
he
game
never
the right
cheated
way.
The game. Mm-mm. That was the way it's supposed to go. Exactly.
So, okay.
And that was my motivation. Never cheat the game.
Right.
If I
let me sneak one more in. And this is something I'm always fascinated by. And I'll get out of y'all's hair. But I'm just, how does retirement hit? And I'm going to tell you why I'm asking. Or how do you know when? Because I think it was Chris Webber who told me once. He was like, it wasn't, for him, it wasn't gradual. It was like from one season and off season to the next, he was like, boom. Couldn't keep up the same way. Didn't have the same – it was just like one off season and boom, it changed. Have you – well, I think for both of y'all it was a little bit different. Like it wasn't quite like that because you both could have kept going. And
yeah, and for me, and Vince knows this, when you're in the mentor role, once you're up there and been in the league for a while – I don't want to say up there in age, but once you've been in the league for a while – they put you in a box, like, oh, he's not doing what he could do because he's older. It's like, no, you're asking me to lead and sacrifice and almost be a coach in uniform and help these young guys get from point A to point B. So don't penalize me and say I can't play anymore. So at the last month, and Vince knows what I'm saying, at the last month, after all our young guys that got hurt, they said, just go hoop. I said, I get to go hoop? They said, yeah. I averaged 30, you can look it up, the month of April, I averaged 31 points and 6 assists off the bench, and we won half the games. So I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, well, I at least showed I can get another year out of this thing. So I think that's why it was such an outcry for me personally when I didn't get signed. Because how did somebody score 50 points and not get a job the next year? After he's proven he's a solid individual. Like, he's good off the court. Like, so
in a month. That's hard to do.
That was my highest scoring month of my career. Clipper days, Knicks days, whatever. 31.6 off the bench. So that was the outcry.
What era do you remember the most? What era do you think is, if we were to say Jamal Crawford's legacy, what era was that for you?
Honestly, I think people would say the Clippers just because we were the better team. Yeah. But I love playing in New York. I was putting in work in New York, but we weren't good. And for me, the NBA was more fun personally because it was more physical. It was more of a men's league. So if you could really go average 27, 28 like Vince, it wasn't no gifts. It wasn't like you were getting all free throws or somebody's letting you happen or you had all this space. You had to earn it. Mm-hmm. So for me, even being an offensive player, I didn't play no defense, but even being an offensive player, I wanted to see if my offense could work against the tougher defenses. And, you know, I want the challenge. So that era for me, 2000, 2010 era before the game kind of flipped a little bit. That was like my favorite era to be a part of, to see the Vince Carters and the Tracy McGrady's and the Allen Iversons. And the Kobe Bryants and Paul Pierce's and match up with these guys. That was my favorite. Those are the guys I'm saying are like not just the best of the generation, they're the best of all time. So I got a chance to see all these guys up close. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's crazy hearing your like mindset and the way you can think about the game and all the different eras you can talk about because, you know, you both have had 20-year careers. And that's why we love to hear from you, Jamal. Like, I see you doing these alternative broadcasts.
Sure.
You're Emmy nominated. You do podcasts. You do shows. Everybody's calling on you from the top players in the league to the top networks in the country to talk about basketball. So I just want to know, Are you new media? Are you the new media? Everybody,
you know
what is new media? Everybody's talking about it now.
You know what I'm gonna say?
Please, I need a definition.
You know what I'm gonna say? You know what I'm gonna say to that? I'm not old media. I'm not new media. I'm true media. Because I'm true to the game.
Okay.
I'm true to the game. I'm true to the game of basketball. I'll never cheat the game.
Using it.
Yep. And you, why wouldn't you? VC, hey, that's a little web, Jim. Go ahead and take that. A little innuendo. Go ahead and keep that.
I'm
true media.
What's true media?
True to the game. Just being true to the game. And I think that's why people enjoy having me on their platforms, because I'm not trying to ever knock anybody. I'm not trying to belittle a generation.
Protect our guys.
I'm trying to protect the game and the truth in the game, because I owe this game everything. Like, I wouldn't be talking to you guys if I didn't have that little round ball with me my whole life. You know what I mean? So I'm true to the game, and that's who I am.
And I like that, and that's kind of my approach. And I want to protect us. I mean, because we play this game, and we make mistakes. We do these, but you know, as long as your intentions are in the right place, you know, you shall be supported by me and someone like you. So I think I love it. I mean, that's what it is. It's just trying to protect the game. And that was my interest and why I enjoyed being on this other side. Now, like oh, you're part of the media. Who are you gonna be? And it wasn't like trying to be somebody. It's like I knew who I know who I am, and I know what I want to get out and who I want to protect, and that's the players. I mean, I want to call it like I see it and just not show the favoritisms. But I mean, you know, you have your guys that you like, you have your situations that you like, but at the same time, let's talk about it like we see it. Let's call
absolutely.
It how we see it. And I think you'll have more of appreciation for it.
And that's why a lot of times, you guys, I never watch games with announcers on. I usually watch games with music on, so I can get lost in what I'm truly seeing. I don't want to be influenced, because when you're talking the game, when you're talking the game, you're teaching it. And you got to teach the right things. You got to teach the real fabric of what we're seeing.
Yo, I love you
and Mar, real quick. And Mar, that goes back to what you said about you know, you getting a job and what we, you know, what are you seeing as opposed to what your age say?
Right.
It should be a testament to a testament to you for guys who play that. So who cares if you're old enough? When they're on the floor, are they productive?
Right.
Does your productivity of your team go up or go down? You know, I don't really get into the plus minus, because like you can get a player out there who doesn't do anything and plus minus, their pluses look good, look great. But it's like, what do you do when you're out there? And that was the frustrating thing for me, is like you said age. It's like, oh, he's 43. There's no way he should be playing. But I am. And when I get out there, what are you seeing? Am I hurting the team or helping the team? Can I still play? Because it got to the point where, you know, some teams are looking at me like, yeah, we would love to have you, but we got to see what our young guys. But then you get frustrated when your young guys are out there and they don't know what they're doing. So I think sometimes we just got to bring them along and nurture them and teach them the game, because sometimes we just got to draft them and we got to throw them out there.
And VC and Raza, the thing about it is, you don't learn to be a pro until you get pros around you. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what you don't know. And that's in any field. That's if you're at Microsoft.
Period.
That's if you're at Amazon. That's if you're in the NBA. Right? Like, Roz, if you can go learn from Robin Roberts or whoever, like, what better mentor to have than that? So I don't get it to help the young people with their products. I didn't get that until I had Charles Oakley and Rick Brunson and Scottie Pippen. You know, I was like, oh, I should be dressed in a certain way.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't eat McDonald's no more. Oh, being on time is actually being early. I didn't know that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I had to learn that type of thinking. I had thinking. You know what I mean? So I was thinking like a kid. I went to college for half a year, and I had to learn those things.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. I mean, even if you look at how what you're surrounded by can make you better at your professional career, look at Andrew Wiggins, right? Like,
exactly.
Fit, scenario, yes. Situation.
Yep.
But
and they needed each other there for sure.
And it's absolutely a two-way street. But just to finish up on the on the broadcasting, though, like, this whole conversation around new media, true media, which you just coined, you know, it's different, because I know you guys started doing a lot more talking more towards like the ends of your careers. You got guys straight up in the prime, like getting knocked out of playoffs and going on to ESPN. You got CJ McCollum signing deals, Pat Beverly. There was a lot of drama around, you know, Draymond Green's very popular podcast during the NBA finals. And you guys are true OGs, and your thoughts are respected, Jamal. Like, how do you see that? And I even me as a player, coming from a player mindset, I guess I'm happy for my teammate to be multifaceted, especially if he's very talented. You know, we're more than basketball players. But especially if we fight in for all the marbles, there might be some lines that I'd be worried if they got crossed during that time or how focused you are. But I'm more curious about what guys like you think about these in the moment players, you know, talking on the media side.
Yeah, obviously it shows that there's a demand of players that need to be heard. People want to hear from them. And I get that and I understand it. Me personally, when the playoffs came, I shut my Twitter down. I wasn't on it. I just didn't want to have any clouded thoughts. I didn't want to have to respond to people. I didn't want people to say, oh, Crawford, you missed this shot, and had me thinking on the court, man, maybe I shouldn't take this shot. Just get in my mind frame. Certain people obviously continue to do it. Draymond did it, and obviously his podcast is blown up. I think personally, I wouldn't have done it. That's just me, though. I mean, I didn't talk much when I played. That's why nobody saw me. That's why I'm like your Hooper's Hooper. I never really talked too much. And I think that's why people actually like having me on their platforms now, because they're hearing things and hearing from me because I didn't talk often. Like I play with Blake and Chris and they're the superstars. And I'm like, I'll star in my role. I'll be sixth man. You guys get all the attention. I'll slide through the back door. And I was perfectly fine with that. So that's the way I would have went about things. I would have kind of shut down for the playoffs. Obviously, Draymond's like, you know what? I can walk in, chew bubble gum. So he chose to go that way, and I don't knock him for that either. They end up winning the championship. So as Draymond said, y'all gonna get this podcast. That's what he said. That's what he got.
Yeah, and I want to add just, and to me, I have no problem with it as long as, like you said, Roz, they you know, cross the line. And because, it, you know, you think about it, it's not like he's doing it right before the game and his focus is not whatever. He's doing it after the game. So, you know, what do we do after the game sometime anyway? We decompress. We, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, man, he should be going to work on his game. But, like, let's, you know, man, come on, guys, like.
He's going to talk about it with somebody.
It's a way to kind of get it out there and kind of refocus. I think everybody, like, approaches it different. Like you say, like, when you were younger, you would, after games, where were you going? Probably going to go to McDonald's or whatever.
Exactly.
Instead of go to stretch. But when you were older, at the end, you're like, bro, I can't do that. I got to go stretch. I got to get the ice.
I got to get some whole foods. I got to get some water.
Yeah, you know, I got to get some water in my system. I got to make sure I get on that Normatec. Right, you know, all of these different things. Right. Where to train? I need somebody to stretch.
Exactly.
You know, it's just all of these things, whatever gets you focused and locked in. And I still think he's locked in. And he showed that because of outside of the you know, get it into with Boston, he showed that he can actually refocus and be get locked in and still do it as well.
Right.
Which he was, like he said, I was doing it all year. Nobody had a problem.
Right.
But the time that something goes wrong, let's look at him. So, I mean.
Few people are as dynamic as Draymond Green and CJ McCollum. And Patrick Beverley certainly was very entertaining when he came on First Take. Like, for me, I just be like, as long as you're handling your business and, you know, you have the respect of your teammates in the locker room, do what you do, because you're much more than just a basketball player. But the media scene is certainly interesting right now for who the participants are. And, of course, because it's also free agency time. So, Jamal, we need your thoughts right now on...
Let me get them.
The biggest story in free agency is what's going on in Brooklyn with the Nets. And I know you spent, you know, some time there, a season. You... are very well respected by a number of the participants in all of the drama. And I'm just throw up a lob. Like, what do you make of all of this?
It's a lot. Obviously, the Kyrie situation was something that we kind of had a feeling it would come to the forefront at some point. Obviously, it was a story all year. The Kevin situation is what threw me off, because just before, the day before, if you look at it, the timing of it, Kyrie's like, okay, I'm opting in. I'll see you guys in the fall. The next day, Kevin's like, or he didn't come out and say it yet, but, you know, they're saying that he's like, I want out of here.
Wait.
And so that part.
Wait, I need to know. Do you think they're in cahoots? Did they work together? What do you think happened there in that moment that you're pointing out of confusion?
That's the part where I can't put my finger on it. And I'm not saying, I really cannot put my finger on it. I'm like, because I'm looking at the time and I'm like, why did he announce then? Mm-hmm. But then you never know, because then I hear maybe they want to pair back up somewhere else that's not Brooklyn. You know what I mean? So that part is the tricky part. And if I was in that locker room, I'd be able to tell you. But right now, I don't know. I really don't know.
That's the hard part of being on the outside looking in. Right? We're not in that locker room. Well, we can't give this.
I don't know this high school.
So yeah, exactly. Can I ask you more hard-hitting questions about your opinions, not on what anybody else is doing?
Yes, but I have 2 minutes because they're about to start the game. Ooh, so if that's okay.
Okay, sure.
Go for it. We'll do it quick.
Do you think that Kevin should continue to want to play with Kyrie? Like, do you think that has seen its course?
I think Kevin should do what's best for him. Kevin's such a giver. If you know him, he's always worried about other people, thinking about other people, then he worries about himself last. Mm-hmm. I think he should worry about himself and put himself first. Whatever will bring him happiness, I think he should do.
How do we reflect if both players end up not on the Nets or one is gone, but that era of them together is over? How do you reflect on the time spent during this experiment with the Nets?
To be honest with you, I would look at the Nets first. Mm-hmm. The fact you had Harden, Kyrie, and KD, and three of these guys are gone. I'm not looking at the players. I'm looking at them first. What is going on there? And I'm going to give them a deeper look at what's going on.
Did the Nets mishandle things here and how they handled Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving?
It appears so. It absolutely appears so. Because these are three superstars. These are three, like, generational talents, and they all went out within a year. Mm-hmm. That's something to look at.
Yeah.
Give us – I'm a say what's one thing about each player because of how you know them. What do we need to know as a public about the true spirit, intention, and character—the character of Kevin Durant?
He's a pro's pro. He's someone who cares about people. If Kevin Durant was mean, he could average 40 points, but he averages 30 because it's the right way to do things. He's always thinking about others first. He's one of the special talents, and people are like, "Oh, he's too emotional. He's too sensitive." Nah, he's real. Because if he didn't show that, like, I don't hear you guys. He'd be like, oh, he's just blowing us off or whatever. No, he's giving you real emotion every single time. I would say he's
like
one of the realest.
Everyone else
does. Yes, I would say he's one of the realest.
He's one of the realest. And what about
realest.
What about Kyrie Irving, from what you know of him and what you see of him as a fellow player, his character as a teammate and player? What do you think people need to know?
Character is top notch. He cares about another one that cares about people. I think that's the common bond between them. They're very similar that way. Kyrie is very artsy. Mm. So when he's playing basketball, he doesn't look at himself as playing basketball. He's looking like he's painting pictures, like he's an artist. He thinks like an artist. He really does. So with artists, you have this canvas. I may draw over here, maybe red. I draw over here, it's blue. But you're like, red and blue don't go together. Those are Crips and Bloods, this and that. They don't go together. He's like, no, they go together in my beautiful dark, twisted fantasy, like Kanye. Like, he's a genius in that way. He's an artist.
All right, I'll finish on this. So hearing you describe Kyrie Irving as an artist, do you feel he's misunderstood in some ways?
Very much so.
Or because does he need to be held accountable? Which way would you go with that?
I think he's misunderstood more than needs to be held accountable. I think, obviously, when you sign a contract, you have to show up and perform. I get that part. But he's misunderstood because we're an artist to that degree, you see things differently anyway. You know what I mean? Like, it's not normal to see things. Like Tupac, for example, he didn't see things like a normal rapper would. He saw it differently. And they say when you're a genius, you're this close to being crazy. Like, you're a little out of touch because you have to think differently to be a genius. You can't think the same as everybody else. And last story I'm gonna say, Roz, never told Vince Carter's story. We're in the weight room. It's his last year. I say, VC, go do the dunk contest. He's like, Maul. I said, VC.
Oh,
I said, VC, go do one dunk. Go do a windmill and walk off. I said, you'll shut down Twitter and be in shambles. He's like, Maul, I got something to do. I forgot. I said, just do one dunk, one windmill and walk off.
Did.
Put yourself in the dunk contest. I never told that story. I was saving it for the VC show.
Hey, you did.
Absolutely.
I remember that. And I was like, man, you crazy. I said, and you almost convinced me. And I was like, nah, bro.
I tried.
Hey, I just got one more thing. And I know you got to go. Free agency, with all of the free agency moves so far to date, what was the biggest surprise for you?
The biggest surprise, I would say, was Zion.
Was it Rudy Gobert, maybe? John Wall?
Zion's.
PJ Tucker, Zion.
Zion's left the contract. Like, obviously, I know that he's a superstar and a young superstar as well. But I was just surprised because there was some talk, would he get all 5 years? You know, obviously being hurt a lot. But seeing all 5 years, obviously they saw as an asset. He's young enough. He puts people in the seats. He deserved the money for sure. I was just surprised the length of it. That was probably my biggest surprise.
And the last one to close. Shout out to Darius Garland. I'm happy for that young
fella. Yes, sir.
But you ready?
I'm ready.
What happens to Colin Sexton?
Ooh, I think Darius Garland. It's Darius Garland's team now.
Ooh.
Whatever fits with him best, it's his team now.
Also,
and then you, hey, it's Darius Garland's team now. If you fit, Sexton, cool. If you don't, we have to move on. It's Darius Garland's team now.
And I'm so happy for DeJounte Murray. Woo!
That's my guy.
I know.
Little bro.
Right.
Little bro. He's going to rep in the A for sure.
Well, thank you for pulling up.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, man, you're a pro's pro. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you thinking about me.
Go coach yourself to a win.
I'm going to get the win. I'm going to get the win. Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Yes. Salute.
All right. Peace.
All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app ever, and honestly, the only one you need. It's not just about the big bonuses and boosts and promos that you get. It's the fact that every time you bet, whether you win or lose, you're earning towards the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. That's because when you download the Caesars Sportsbook app, you become a Caesars Rewards member, and that means perks. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700.
Man, that was really great to hear from Jamal Crawford. Man. You know, it's very clear why he's your favorite Hooper's favorite Hooper and Emmy nominated as a journalist now. True media really can break down the game so well.
I mean, it's easy. He's an easy listen. That's what it is. It's like you know, everybody knows Jamal. And like you said, he doesn't talk much, but when he talks, you listen because, I mean, his approach, his delivery and what he has to say, like he drops gems, literally drops gems, just like he was dropping buckets, you know, like he should be in the league, Roz. I'm sorry. Like still to this day, he should be in his league.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He got robbed, honestly, of some extra years of his career. But it was beautiful to hear him talk about closure. And both of y'all actually to wax poetic about kind of, you know, walking out of one phase of your life and into another, which is fatherhood and just more even deeper dive into that side of your life. And it was kind of cool to hear him geeking out about you.
Yeah, man. Do you do that, man.
Do you hear that a lot from a lot of players? Keep it real.
I hear from a few. I hear from a few guys, and it's great, and it's an honor. It's a pleasure. Like I say, I just try to, you know, I love the game. Just try to do the game and play it the right way. Obviously, you're not going to satisfy everyone throughout your career, and the sooner as a young player you understand that, I think you're able to kind of grow in this game personally and as a professional players too.
I think you stand out. And he was absolutely spot on as one of those guys, you know, that you even make other professional athletes feel like, oh, shoot, that's Vince Carter. And I think that has a lot to do with your character, too. You know, some guys move on for the game, but some stand, you know, as legends forever and transcend, you know, the generations they played with. And you're certainly one of those. And I feel that for him, too. And I think that's why he's able to speak so candidly about the league and also his proximity to it, his comments on the Nets, I think was a perspective that we hadn't heard so well articulated just yet. And we were rushing him through because he had to go get to coaching his son's game. But I wanted to make sure to also come back and tap in with you on your thoughts on the Nets. And, you know, Jamal had pointed out, things that I thought were interesting was he points out that, we might need to look at the Nets organization and leadership and discuss why superstars are trying to flee from there. He pointed out the high
Hall of Fame superstars.
He pointed out the high character. I asked him what he thought of Kevin Durant, and he spoke sincerely from the heart on him, and then compared Kyrie to an artist that he said more is misunderstood. Then he needs to be held accountable. And so I thought those were interesting thoughts from somebody we respect. Curious your thoughts on how we should be looking at accountability, period. And accountability.
That's where I was going with that. I think KD is misunderstood. Kyrie is misunderstood, as well as James Harden at times are misunderstood. But the accountability of it all matters. It matters. And like one thing he said is when you sign that contract, you have to honor your contract and you have to, you know, your availability matters. And that's something that matters to the organization. And I understand his side of it. And, you know, we enjoy when Kyrie's on the floor, he's electric. and it's been well documented by everyone who's had something to say about him. We're not questioning him as a player. We want to see him often. We want to see more because I think you said it. I think many everybody said he's available more. It's a different Brooklyn Nets result. Maybe not a championship, but they're not out of the first round. I think that they don't put themselves in positions where they're limping to the finish line before before the playoffs start. So I just think the accountability matters. And, you know, I kind of like what, because I'm every time I answer these questions, I'm trying to put myself on the organizational side as well. And I like the fact that Sean Marks is coming out and establishing their culture, because when you're a GM, you're a new GM, and you have your own organization now, you have to set ground rules. You have to put your foot down. You have to establish who we are going to be as an organization. Just like as a coach, this is how we're going to play and what's the do's and don'ts and what's allowed and what's not. And maybe that was not done initially. And now they're trying to kind of reel it in and saying, hey, accountability, accountability and availability. And because you're two guys, well, at that point, two guys now, but let's say that there are three guys that matter to their organization and the success of their organization. And they have, because of so much money, maybe they didn't have the supporting cast where they can just miss these guys. And we started to see that as they weren't available, they just weren't as good. And then James Harden leaves and they're still not as good. So it's just important. So if I'm an organization, and I think if I have a job, that's number one. You have to set the ground rules of how we're going to run, how this organization is going to run. Sean Marks came from San Antonio. Well, it's understood from many, many years ago how things go to San Antonio. When you go to San Antonio, it's no question. It's no guessing of what it's like or what's going to happen or how things work in San Antonio. As opposed to when you're bringing in GM every couple of years or bringing in a new coach, you're starting to figure it out. And now sometimes we as players, I'm like, all right, well, we're going to try this. We're going to do it like this. Oh, we don't need a coach. We can coach this. Or we don't need this. Because it was never, no boundaries or no ground rules were never set to where you felt like you can say that. If you already knew you couldn't say that, you wouldn't say it.
You know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, to come back to what Jamal Crawford was saying, and I noticed to be true of KD from, I've, you know, known him a bunch of years. And from what I know of him, he really loves the game and respects the craft, respects those that came before him, you know, is on the court unless literally injury keeps him off of it. I think he plays it the right way. You know, the conversations about people's personalities and how they express themselves, I don't think that factors into conversations of how talented a player is or how they should be in the GOAT combo. Like, actually, I'll throw this one on you, because while discussing Kevin Durant, I know that Isola and some other people were making commentary on his leadership and what this situation reflected of his leadership. Should he have called out Kyrie Irving? Did he need to tell Kyrie Irving what to do? And I'm just curious your thoughts on that. And then the bigger question is, to be considered one of the great players of all time, does leadership have anything to do with that? And my opinion was, no, I don't think even to be a great player, you have to be the best leader. There are plenty of players who aren't even the best
that are great leaders. Example. Yes, I played with a few great point guards who didn't lead by verbally. They led by example. So I definitely believe in that. And who's to say that they didn't have their conversation? Because I think the one thing, Roz, to me, and this is just me and my perspective on it, a guy coming from an era prior to social media, We tend to see things now, and when we want a response from somebody, we expect them to go to social media and put it out there for us all to see. Mm-hmm. And I've used the example before about, you know, Donovan Mitchell and Terrence Ross honoring me wearing my jersey in the dunk contest. And the first thing that was asked about me was where people were saying, I can't wait to see what Vince is going to say. I can't wait to see Vince's tweet or response to them. And I just never was... good at that. I just never felt like I needed to go to social media to appease everyone else. Instead, I wanted to go to that person. I went to Donovan Mitchell personally, and I went to Terrence Ross and personally thanked them. Now, if they chose to, you know, talk about that on social media, cool. So who's to say that they did not have a conversation? I feel like they're boys enough to say, hey, man, we need you. And KD's kind of the guy like, He kind of said it, like, I respect his decision. And, like, we want, you know, Stephen A. is well documented about what he wanted KD to say. A lot of people say what they wanted or what we all wanted or we felt KD should say about the situation because maybe that's how they would handle it. But there again, there's leaders, guys who are great in their role. And I played with guys like Jay Kidd. Jay Kidd is one of the best point guards to ever do it. But verbally, it wasn't his thing. But he led by example. But when he had something to say, you listen. Steve Nash wasn't all the rah-rah, always talking in this. But when he had something to say, Dirk, when they had something to say, you say, uh-oh. Hey, they unmuted the box because they're talking and they listen. But they led by example, their approach, how they handle themselves, how do they prepare. You understood it. And then you had other guys who did that for him. So you put those guys around them. So, you know, Draymond and Steph. Mm-hmm. Like Steph is not really the verbal leader. Yes, he talks at times. Draymond's that guy for them. You know, so you have guys that are stars in their role and do their job to make the team run and work. So who did – outside – so if Kevin Durant, outside of that, who else did they have on that team that to be that verbal leader? Maybe KD's not that guy.
What are your general thoughts about how we should reflect on the time spent with the Nets here between Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving?
It didn't work. It's just the true reality. It didn't work, and it's unfortunate. When you look at that talent, you know, I look at – even with James Harden, I look at that team with those three guys alone, and I look at it, I think of the Lakers when they had Carmelo, Gary Payton, Shaq, and Kobe. Like, you just – you have all the talent, and they just didn't get it done. But they were able to go, you know, work further. But it was just – it didn't work because you said something that makes a lot of sense that – maybe even management tends to forget. You get enamored about the talent and bringing those guys in, but you have to face the reality of who they are and say, hey, we need a guy to tie this all together. You look at the Miami Heat. You have all of that talent talent there, but you have a guy in Udonis Haslem, who I mentioned earlier, to tie it all together, the leader, the guy that they respect in the locker room when he speaks. You know, he's speaking from the heart. He's speaking for the good of the team and guys who respect him. Like, okay, I see you. I got what you're saying. Did they have that? And maybe the organization felt like we have guys who have been around the game long enough to do that. But it's funny is, you know, when things are going well, guys will talk and communicate. Right. But when things aren't going well and when things are shaky, that's when you're figuring out who's going to be your voice of reason in your locker room. And that's when that's what I felt like they didn't have any, because you can have young guys speak up all you want, but it's a respect thing too when it comes to that. You know, it's just the reality of it. It's like a young guy, and you appreciate that, and you want them to continue to have that quality. It's just, it's unfortunate when you're a first, second year guy not playing much, trying to motivate stars.
And also, you know, to be fair here too, the Nets came into a really — this era of Nets basketball came into an odd situation, like a pandemic, Kevin Durant coming off of injury. You know, James Harden injury, COVID disruptions, Kyrie Irving, you know, nobody — as much as you
tough
might
decisions
have on should he or should he have not taken the vaccine, nobody could have predicted when they decided to come here, this whole situation even being an issue, in fairness. So, like, there's a lot of factors that, were out of their control too, that made this era not work for the Nets. Mm-hmm. But overall, for the Nets franchise, the period will be looked back on as a debacle. You know, to usher in great talent and have it come out with so little, unless in these trades it bears fruit to something that, you know, in 5 years' time becomes a championship contender. But in the moment, you know, the Nets, who were at one point, you know, being put in headlines, would they jockey to become New York's team? Would they bust out, you know, decades of Knicks fans who had been is this the future of New York? They got, you know, they got Barclays, Jay-Z up in there, everything. And for it to end this way is so — what's the word? Anticlimactic.
And unfortunate. Or
unfortunate. And nobody looks great. And you know what else makes it really hard, Vince? And the two are not connected, but it's natural to connect this. The Warriors go on and win a championship. And they're probably poised to contend for the next few years. Like, if the Warriors, every year the Warriors contend for a championship, there's going to be a narrative that KD wasn't there for it. And then even, it's funny, look how the basketball gods will do things. Then the Celtics were in the finals. Like, they just, and you know, they're bringing in Malcolm Brogdon. Like, you know, shoot, that they might find themselves back in the finals. Just imagine just the nature of us as human beings and as storytellers. The two teams these guys both left go on to have be fertile and bear many fruit of success for years after while they go in this direction.
And still going to stand tall, you know, wherever they these guys land, they're still going to stand tall. You know, that's what's crazy about all of this. And I have to ask, go ahead.
No, I'm going to ask you. So, and then we'll end on this. It's an annoying, terrible media question. This is an old media question. But when these are two men who have nothing to prove, they're champions, and KD's finals MVP, two of the greatest at their position. But when we look at the book of their careers, will this chapter blemish them?
I think it's something that will be in the front of our minds right now. It'll be a blur. But the fortunate thing for these two superstars, they're not on the back end of their career. They're going to move on to continue playing, and as they do great things, and KD, Kyrie put up 50 points again, and this, that, we're gonna talk about it, but we can quickly forget it. And you know, anywhere KD goes, they're gonna be a contender. So they're gonna always have a chance, regardless. And depending, you know, how things work out for Kyrie the rest of his career, and who he's playing for. Yeah, but he's such a dynamic player, and you got to respect his ability on the court. I think it is a blemish. It is an unfortunate thing, and it's going to be talked about. But I think at some point, people are going to forget that. It's a time, obviously, the pandemic and what the pandemic has done to the world, to the game, and this, that odd time. That'll be talked about, but they're going to go on to, like I said, continue to score points, reach milestones to where, you know, we're going to continue to give them their flowers. And, you know, obviously this is, I think a lot of it will follow Kyrie a little more than KD, in my opinion, until we see otherwise, the availability. So that's what I think.
Fascinating. Oh, never a dull day in free agency.
I know. But speaking of free agency, I got to ask you, we got to talk about this because I know we talk about it all day, you know, in our other jobs throughout the day. What I asked Jamal, but I'm going to ask you, what was the move or signing that surprised you?
I mean, obviously everything happening with the Nets. I guess maybe not surprised.
I mean, outside of that. Yeah.
Right,
I mean, every signings,
maybe not surprised, but I am interested and happy to see that Warriors getting everybody paid. Everybody from the Warriors getting paid now. Gary Payton got his money. Kevon Looney got his money.
Otto Porter got a little money.
On his way, got him a little deal. Like Damian Lee spread his wing and fly, and he leaving the Curry nest and doing his thing too. Like so that's been exciting to see all those good people do well. I'm thrilled, and I think it'll be a good thing. I believe so, to bring DeJounte Murray to the Hawks, and I should be asking you what you think about that. But I love that pairing.
I have questions. I have questions. That
a little defense, bring that in there.
That is one. And I think Trey's the X factor. Here's why: he's so used to being the primary ball handler. The Hawks are bringing in an all-star point guard that you're going to turn into probably a two guard. I mean, maybe they'll switch on and off. If Trey is willing to allow DeJounte to be the all-star guard and player that he is, it can work. And it can remind you, ladies and gentlemen, I said remind you. I didn't say it's going to be like, it can remind you of a Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum type of backcourt. if they can make this work. Very dynamic. Guys can, because Dame was able to allow CJ to be the dynamic scorer that he was, and they took off, and it was such a hard guard. Like, you didn't want to go to Portland to guard these guys, because CJ understood who Dame was, but Dame also understood who CJ was, and they worked together. If they can do that, and then you put pieces around that, I will really, really like this pickup.
And my other takeaway would be, when I have my kids and I have a son one day, or sons, whatever, free agency is a great reminder of how I'm going to put a ball right in their hands. We going straight to the layup line. We doing shooting drills. We watching film. And look, my kid don't even got to be the best player. Honestly, all I got to do is get him to be a contributing role player level, reliable
because that's what they want.
And he don't even have to be that talented. With my IQ and, you know, my Nigerian athleticism, and hopefully find, you know, a mating partner, he got a little bit of height on him. Look, we can have us at least, you know, shoot, you see these contracts? Look, this is, hey, as a woman's basketball player, I was just talking to some of my homegirls that play ball. We was like, damn, they're making crazy bread over there. These contracts are nuts. Contracts that used to be reserved, like $100 million used to be reserved for, like, you know, the Kobe Bryants of the day. Now this is like, you could be a bench warmer and be making $100 million contract now. Like, honestly. And then now, everybody's getting $220 million contracts.
Yeah. I talked to, you know, some of the guys, you know, that came in around my time, you know, the older guys. And I'm just like, just imagine, man, like, just imagine, like you just said, like the money that's thrown around now. I mean, obviously, it's just the world is different. TV revenue, just the popularity of the game. And it's kudos to these guys. And I'm happy about them getting the money. I remember coming in as a young guy, getting, you know, an extension, getting a five-year deal, and hearing the old guys, MJ and all those guys, like, man, bro, like, y'all, the money y'all making now is crazy. So, and like, now I'm finding myself saying that. And, I support it. I'm happy for them. And it's just crazy. Missing it. I mean, obviously, being in the league and near the end, while these guys are getting that, I'm just like, man, if I could have just pulled out three more years, I could have got a nice little deal just being a supporter and a mentor and the voice of the locker room, like we talked about. Right. I could do that. I can help all your superstar players. Like,
I could raise a voice of the locker room. I definitely have that somewhere locked up in here. we're joking halfway, but in God's time, God's timing is all knowing. But we joke, but we be half serious. We're like, yo, we gonna put a ball in these kids' hands. They gonna learn how to dribble or something.
We gonna learn today. And the last two things, I'm like, what do you think about the John Wall thing? I'm thinking about the basketball side. Like, what does that do for Reggie Jackson? Do you now bring him off the bench? I think Reggie was amazing. I'm interested to see John Wall and how he fits in with this squad at the lead guard. I sound old when I say lead guard. At the point guard.
No, I like lead guard, because point guard is an outdated term with the way that everybody's so interchangeable, you know?
Yeah. So, but I'm curious with that, and just to kind of see him. I've seen some video. Looked like he has his explosiveness.
I'm just happy to see him on the court, you know, and get a chance to play.
They will play faster. They will play faster. I will tell you that. I mean, and that's a good thing for them. That allow, you know, PG and Kawhi to kind of now play in open space more, because you get out in transition, let John Wall get easy baskets, which is needed in the playoffs, and then now you can get the ball into those guys' hands with a little freedom.
What happens to Reggie Jackson then?
That's what I'm saying. And I think Reggie is a guy who's able to adjust and understand his role, but he emerged. Mm-hmm. He was so important to the Clippers this year. Big shots, big numbers. I mean, 30 points after 30-point games. And
clutch.
I mean, he hit clutch on both. Like, he was a guy. They were putting the ball in his hands to knock down shots or to win games for them. So I hope they're able to make that work. And lastly, the Rudy Gobert trade, you knew it was writing on the wall, but did you think Minnesota?
Well, I'm not sure. Was Windhurst the only person who saw the writing on the wall? Actually, right. That's one of my favorite things that has come out of free agency for anybody who's a part of NBA Twitter. Brian Windhorst, Wendy, getting the meme treatment for waxing poetic about what may or may not be happening in Utah and then being vindicated by the Rudy Gobert trade. I mean, it seems like they're, you know, blowing the thing up. Is that what's happening?
It's interesting. Let me rephrase it. I'm more interested to see how this works in Minnesota. I think they go back to the Twin Tower look, which was obviously in my era when I walked in, you always had two bigs on the team. That's great, but the league is transcending into playing faster. And Rudy Gobert, you know, can get up and down the court, but pick and roll situations. I'm putting Rudy in situations where I can get him away from the rim so we can get layups. And, you know, so I'm going to try my best to make. And then that's what teams can get messed up. So if Minnesota is able to counter that, they will be successful. But I'm going to make them have to play small ball because of the dynamic, you know, how dynamic Rudy is defensively. So it's going to be an interesting watch. I think they have a lot of talent. And I tell you what, defensively, you don't have to be a great defensive player. You just got to make sure you push them baseline to that big fella and help him out on the glass or boxing out a big. Because he's going to block everything. So he's going to get every rebound. But, you know, that's going to be the formula that they're going to see. Obviously, they're prepared for it. You got to play faster. You're going to have to put the big fella in a lot of pick and rolls and see what happens. So, and on a Donovan, go ahead.
You got two styles of bigs there, too. I mean, Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns are very different players. Right. So,
but I want to see Karl Anthony Towns at the five and somebody else at the four instead of that big guy. You know what I'm saying? So.
Right. Although I think it could open up Karl to, you know, play the finesse game he likes to get to sometimes. And
offensively. Yeah, I agree. And I'm using Gobert like Doc Rivers used Rondo. I'm putting Gobert down below the charge circle and let him eat up the glass, get offensive rebounds, and give us extra possessions. That's what he can do.
I mean, ultimately, the thing I'm most excited about coming out of Minnesota is Anthony Edwards, because he is something. I got to cover him on the sidelines for this playoff run. It was his first playoffs, and that boy wasn't nervous. He was ready. He came out and performed. They didn't win, but he was elite. And I think he's going to be a very, very special player. So I'm very
confident
excited for him.
And that's mm-hmm. the one thing about young guys today. They're, you know, when you think they should be nervous because of the moment, they're not. The game's not mm-hmm. too big for them. And, you know.
That's also because a lot of them are already celebrities and superstars by the time they're in high school. And mm-hmm. that's also part of the changing technology and landscape and social mm-hmm. media scape of the game that comes with these young dudes now. You know, they got platforms, they got opinions, they got million fan followings, they got endorsement deals. So it's just, you come in with a more dynamic young player.
Yeah, and you already in that moment. I mean, yeah, I agree. You just have to understand the game. But like, you know, because the game now, when young guys come in, they get the keys immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And that is empowering for a young guy, as opposed to my first couple of years, my first year. I mean, you had to earn it. You weren't just getting the keys to an organization day one. Like, hey, yeah, okay, you know, you're the starter. No, I remember when I got in there, like, yeah, you're gonna be in the third team. You're going with this group, and you earn it. But once I got it, I wasn't giving it back.
Vince,
Miles, I wasn't getting it back.
You was a net. You was a black hole.
This is my position forever. Like, I was on the third string, had to get myself to the second string, and once I became a starter and a staple in our offense, I wasn't giving that position back.
So, and also the pride you took and probably the work it took just to get there. So, yeah, you're not giving that back. But I feel like, Vince, if you started your career now, I mean, you were so multifaceted even as a young man. You were doing band, you were into music, you played multiple sports. Like, you'd have been a TikTok star, you'd have already built out, you know, multiple lines of income and brand recognition. You know, your athleticism and marketability once you got to the league would have taken off, but you'd have been the prototype of the kid that's here today in modern NBA, modern college basketball.
Oh, I can't imagine.
You'd have been a billionaire. It's okay. Crazy. It's not too late.
I'm just about to say that. I said, I'm working. I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to catch up, LeBron. I'm trying to catch up, homeboy. At KD, I know he's close, and Shaq, and all this. It's Tiger. There's got a couple of people that are doing it.
I just read an article. Draymond is on his way to being a billionaire. He's had some very good investments. And I was like, look at that.
He's in the right area. I tell you, they are in the right area to do some great things out there. So, you know, Steph, if you watch it, man, I'm going to come over just for a couple of months just to hang out and play some golf.
Right. Hi, Steph.
Yeah, exactly. Right. What up, boy?
Well, this was fun.
Yes. Well, that's a wrap. That's a wrap for the VC show. Vince Carter, Roz Gold on Woody. Every week, we're going to talk about this. We're going to do this, and we're going to have you kicking up your feet like, hey, it's over with already? Yes. Catch us next week. We are gone. Let's go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.